Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
And so, the title of what we're working with on this morning, it is going to be entitled Step by Step. And even as I was talking to my oldest and Mike, they heard me mention this title. I thought it, she began to say it. When I told them the title, Step by Step, Renisha began to sing it, Day by Day. And when you think about that, that was a sitcom back in the day, right? And it talks about having a fresh new start, a new hand of cards to actually be played, you know? And so we'll see some of those same things play itself out in this particular story that we're dealing with, which is a familiar passage of scripture. So we're here in the book of Mark, right? It's a familiar passage of scripture. And we know one thing about Mark. Mark is the type of dude, this author, when he wrote this book, he's not hanging around. And he gets in and he gets out, right? It's kind of a hit you in the mouth. It's short, sweet, straight to the point, right? He just gets in and says what needs to be said, right? And I appreciate that. And in his book, he's showing us, or he's portraying or painting the image that Christ is the suffering Son of God. Amen. And so even as we look through all these different things that have transpired within the book, we understand that when you jump over to the book of, not this same book, I should say the chapter number four, the prior chapter, right? We see, you know what I'm saying, Christ is talking about parables, or he's speaking in parables, and he's speaking about the parable of the sower, where he's sowing the word and how the word is falling upon these different places and different soils and all these different things, right? And then he begins to talk about the parable of the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. And then towards the end of this chapter, he talks about, we see how Christ rises up and rebukes the storm and calms the storm, right? And one thing that was interesting to me as I was studying this, right? Because we see throughout the scriptures, when you get into the gospels, the fame of who he is and the fame of what he's done has been spreading abroad throughout the neighboring cities all around, his headquarters, Capernaum, all these different things, right? And so it was a blessing to see how word was spread quickly about who Christ was and about the things that he was doing, the miracles, the casting out of devils, the healing of sicknesses and disease, and all these different things. We bless God for all those things that happened, right? So in the midst, while he was rebuking the storm, right? The scripture lets us know, like I said, most of us, we run right over this, right? We tend to focus on, you know, him getting up, coming out the bottom of the boat, and him speaking and rebuking the storm. Or we tend to focus on the fact that how his disciples were so afraid, you know, and they went down to awake him and all these different things. But there was a key point in verse number 36, and it talks about when his disciples gathered him as he was. They took him in the ship, right? And when the storm came, it also talks about how there were other ships or other boats that were with him. So it was not only his disciples that witnessed him rebuking the storm or speaking to the storm and this storm coming subject. So there were other people who now can testify of this man speaking. Remember, he's the God man. He is the Theanthropos, fully God, but yet fully man at the same time, where he has the ability not to only to just speak to natural things. We know he can speak to spiritual things, but he's not speaking to a natural thing, this being a tremendous storm, but he spoke to it. It came subject to him and the sea became calm. So there are other people who witnessed this miracle that was performed by Jesus Christ, not just his disciples, hinting at the point that we now have other people who can now spread the fame about who this man is, him being the God man, or him being the Son of God, or proclaiming to be the Son of God. Amen. And so as we move over into chapter number five, we see Jesus where he's now getting into the ship, you know, that name, where he's been traveling over to the gatherings on the other side of the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret, right? And so he reaches the other side and he comes to the city of the gatherings where he's going to perform deliverance on the demoniac. Familiar passages of scripture where the man is possessed with legion, over 2,000 demons, some theologians believe, right? And so he sets the man free, and we understand fame and noise is shed abroad, and they're beginning to speak about things that have done, what has taken place in the life of this man who was tied to fetters and chains and the graveyard and all of these different things. But the power of Christ caused him to be set free, right? And so after this deliverance takes place, he gets back in the ship and he travels back to Capernaum, the other side, right? He travels back to Capernaum. And when he's there, you know, he's headed to the synagogue to actually preach in the synagogue. And he runs into Jairus. Jairus, however you want to pronounce the name, right, who is actually a ruler in the synagogue. And so this man, Jairus, is very familiar with Christ speaking in the synagogue. So he comes and he falls down at his feet and he begins to worship. And he talks about how his daughter is very, very, very sick. And he needs the Messiah to come to heal his daughter. Now we understand he is en route to go and bring healing to this man's daughter. But housed inside of this other miracle, we see that this woman, this story is interrupted with this woman with the issue of blood. And so one thing I begin to look at this as I begin to see this, God begin to show me how the Bible talks about he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel, right? And so what we see God has the ability to move at the same time for multiple people. Oh, yes. By him being the wheel in the middle of the wheel, he's moving not just for Jairus and his daughter, but he's also moving for this woman that has the issue of blood. Amen. And so we're talking about step by step, step by step, step by step, right? And the scriptures talks about it, says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, right? And I like it because it says a certain woman. This was an unnamed woman. So you know, to all the women that are listening, partaking, listen, you might well go ahead and put your name in the scripture. And for us men, the woman just signifies an individual right now. So for us men, guess what? There are certain men that has issue. Now, I know I'm not saying that you bleed. You're not necessarily bleeding, you know, having a menstrual cycle. But there's some of us who bleed from the heart. There's some of us who are bleeding from a mental issue. There are some of us who are bleeding from a physical issue, though it may not be a menstrual cycle, right? So understand, we all have issues. The point I'm trying to make, we all have issues. And some of us have had them 12 plus years. And so I can remember talking about this, and God gave me the title a while ago about this being 12 years a slave, right? And so imagine this woman is bound 12 years with this ongoing issue, right? And the law says because, ceremonially, because she has this ongoing issue, well, there was a continuous flow, ceremonially, she is clean. And so she has to announce as she's moving about wherever she is, we can just say in Capernaum, wherever she's moving about, she has to announce that she is unclean, right? And so with her being unclean, she is only loved by mosquitoes and only loved by flies right now. Because if she were to touch someone else, they are now become ceremonially unclean just as she is, right? So it becomes a very, very, very disheartening thing, right? And just put yourself in this woman's shoes where for 12 years you can't touch nobody. 12 years you really can't get close to anybody. I'm talking about longing for to be touched. And I'm not talking about in a sexual manner, just to be hugged, just to embrace, just to know that you matter. But yet because of my issue, I can't get close to folk. And because of my issue, folk cannot get close to me, right? And so this is the thing, right? When we were going to look at these particular words, right? Because we're talking about step by step, right? Let's look at the word gatherings, right? In the Greek, it's defined as reward at the end. And so we know what took place in the city of the gatherings, right? At the end of everything, the demoniac received the reward, which was his deliverance being set free, delivered, set free, and made whole. So he had a reward at the end of that thing. And I just want to encourage somebody, though you may be dealing with an issue, though you may be in the middle of a situation, though you may be dealing with a small problem, I just want to encourage you, there is a reward at the end of this thing. And see, this is my thing. You got to go through something. Stop asking God to bring you out and go ahead and go through that thing. Because when you go through it, when you come through, when you come on the other side, there is a reward on the end of this thing. Amen. And so the other thing, when he goes back to Capernaum, the word Capernaum or the name Capernaum is defined in the Greek as a village of comfort. And because of this woman's issue, right? Y'all know the old adage, it takes a village to raise them, or it takes a village to keep them, right? It's her, understand, because of her issue, her village has been removed, or she has been separated from her village. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there, right? Y'all know it takes a village, though, but what do you do when your village has been separated from you, when you are faced with challenges, and you have to deal with them all by yourself, right? Or you have to deal with them, and help is from afar. People are only able to help you from afar, right? They can't get up close and personal and help you. They can't get up close and, you know what I'm saying, when you need a shoulder to cry on or lean on, you have nobody to lean on. You understand what I'm saying? Either you're going to be looking crazy trying to lean your head on your own shoulder, or baby, you're going to be leaning up against the wall. And if not that, you better truly know God so that you can lean on God. You hear what I say? Okay, okay, okay. So what do you do when your village has been removed from you? What do you do when your village has been separated from you, right? And this is the predicament that this woman finds herself in, right? Her issue has separated her from her village, right? And she found herself all alone. surrounded by people, in the midst of people, but yet can't get close to anybody. No one can get close to us, and that's a scary place to be. And a lot of folk are experiencing that right now in the midst of this pandemic because, you know, the situation that's going, it is forcing us to be alone. But see, my thing is there's a difference between being lonely and being alone. See, it's a good thing when you are alone, because when you are alone, God is pulling you, God is wooing you, God is calling you closer to himself. He wants more of you, and he wants you to have more of him. So it's a good thing. Do not misinterpret when you are alone. It is a good place to be, and God is trying to get you closer to become more intimate with God, right? So it says a certain woman, she had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood, right? And we understand issue in the Greek is talking about she had a flow. There was a flow in the blood that was coming consistently out of this woman for 12 long years, y'all. So what I'm saying, every day, all day, she got blood coming out of her. And if you know anything about the scripture, the Bible lets us know over in the book of Leviticus, it talks about how the life is in the blood, y'all. And so because she has this consistent flow running out of her, you got to understand, baby, life is flowing out of her every day. Life. We're going to get to that a little bit, right? So this is my thing. I'm going to connect this scripture, right? Because when it talks about her having this issue of blood, she had it for 12 long years, right? And even when you talk about the number 12, right? The number 12, it symbolized God's authority and power. But it also speaks about government, a governmental foundation, right? So that's a good thing, even when you talk about that, right? So it's perfect governmental foundation, right? And it also talks about, you know, God's power and authority, right? And so one thing we understand, this particular issue has stripped this woman of her power and her authority. Notice, you know, money gives you a certain status, right? It gives you a certain power. It gives you a certain authority. But because of this issue that she's dealing with, she has spent all her money. Self-esteem is torn up. It's all in the gutters. Just her being able to relate to people for 12 long years, what she previously knew, you got to throw it in the trash now. The conversation she has now is just with herself and probably with mosquitoes and flies, right? So I can imagine people may think she's crazy because she's talking all the time. Really, she's talking to the flies, get out the way and, you know, stop trying to bite me. You understand what I'm saying? But her issues had stripped her of her power and authority. Not only that, it stripped her of a normal life. It stripped her of being a normal person. She's not just viewed or seen as a normal person anymore, but everybody now views her because of her issue as unclean. Unclean, unclean, unclean. See, right there, that's a good place to throw your hands up and say, thank God for his grace and thank God for his mercy. The truth of the matter is, God, I'm unclean. The truth of the matter is, oh, wretched man that I am, but I thank you for your grace, God, and I thank you for your love, God, and I thank you for your mercy, God, because if it had not been for you, God, I really do not know where I would be right now. So it says, in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, come on, take me 12 years, right? It says, and has suffered many things, many, many physicians, right? She has suffered many things and has spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, right? So it says, for 12 years, she suffered many things of physicians, going in and out of the doctor's office, going to see many different doctors, right? But yet no one has the ability to help her in a situation. And that's how most of us feel, right? You're dealing with a situation, and you feel like nobody can help you with this situation. I have talked all I can talk. I have talked till I'm blue in the face. I have described it 5-10 different ways. I have approached it from different angles, but yet nobody can help me but what I'm dealing with. And see, when you come to that point, see, you must realize this is something that only God can handle. This is a job for the Most High God. And see, that's where you got to take your hands off of it and let God put his hands on that thing. It says that she suffered many things of many physicians, right? And then it says, and she has spent all that she had, right? And in her spending, so all of her money was gone, y'all. So even when we talk about the issues, when we talk about the issues in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse number 23, right? Because we talked about she had an issue of blood flow. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 23, it talks about we have to keep our heart with diligence because out of it flows the issue of life. And so when it's not a physical issue, most of us have heart issues. And the reality, when your money get funny, oh, the truth be told, you have heart issues. And not just that, when you begin to get to define the word heart in the Hebrew and begins to talk about how your inner man, and it talks about your moral character, and it talks about the seat of your appetites and your passions and desires and all of these different things. But most of us, when your heart is being attacked by the issues that are confronting you, most of us, it then brings your character under attack. Nobody gonna help me right there. And so the truth be told, most of your character is on the slaughter right now because of what you're dealing with in your heart. You can't get a handle on what's going around. You trying to make sense of what's happening and trying to understand what it is that you're dealing with. Really don't even know how to describe what it is that's taking place. You just don't even have the words for it. But some things you've been in so long to, I ain't got no more words for it, God. The truth be told, I don't even know what I feel anymore. I'm just numb or I'm indifferent to, because I've been in it so long. And now my character. What do I mean when I say your character? It used to be known that you were a woman of God. It used to be known that you were a man of faith, that you trusted God. You the word of God, that no matter came your way, you understood, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. God shall deliver me. God shall heal me. God shall bring me up. But now you find yourself, because of your heart issues or because of your physical issue, you find yourself trusting God. Is God going to do it? We know the Bible lets us know that he's not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. If he spoke it, he shall bring it to pass. He shall do it. Well, when was the last time you stood on God's word? Some of you are staggering at the promises of God. Oh, you need to go back. Oh, Abraham, remember, he's a promise keeper. Remember, he cannot lie. Remember, he will do exactly what he said. Stop allowing your character to be under attack because of what you're physically dealing with, or what you're dealing with emotionally or mentally for that matter, or even spiritually, dare we say. Oh no, you got to get your character back, that although I'm being tried, although I'm being tested, although I'm going through, I still stand on the word of God. I still trust God. I still believe God. I still know that God is faithful. Oh yes, God, he's the true and faithful God. Yes, and he's faithful to me. Not only that, but I know that I am his son. I know that I am his daughter, and God will hear my cry. God will answer me. God will deliver me. God shall deliver me. Although I've suffered many things, other position, and all my money is spent. And truth be told, y'all know some of us, when the money is gone, we start acting a slam fool. Oh, yes. Oh, because it's messing with your heartstrings. Oh, yes, it is. It's messing with your mind. You're trying to figure out, okay, well, how am I going to do this? If I don't have the money, how am I going to do this? How shall I accomplish this? How should I take care of this if I don't have the money? Now, it's one thing to have a physical issue in her body, that being the issue of blood. But on top of that, she now has a money problem. Oh, yes, yes. On top of that, everybody's looking at her, and everybody refers to her as the unclean woman, or the woman with the issue of blood. She has been labeled by society. Now, oh, you talk about issues, but something in her would not let her give up. And that's why we call it step by step. In order to get to her blessing, in order to get to her breakthrough, in order to get to the fulfilled promise of God, guess what? She had to do it step by step. She had to put her left foot in front of the right foot one at a time and keep on walking to God. She had some dark nights. Guess what? She had some dark mornings. She had some dark noon days. But guess what? She made up in her mind that she was going to trust God regardless of what it looks like. And I just believe that it truly looked dim, because she's been dealing with this thing 12 years. You talk about hopeless right now, but on the inside of her, something caused hope to rise in her. The scripture lets us know that she had heard of Jesus Christ, right? She heard of him. And that's the thing. It speaks to the word being spread about who he was, right? So all this word being spread about, because she can't even get to him. Thank God that she's able to hear. Because there are going to be times in your life where you feel like God is so far away, but thank God that somebody else is testifying of his goodness. Somebody else is still saying how good God is. Somebody else is still saying that he's faithful. Somebody else is still saying that he's a great God. And thank God that you have an ear to hear what God is saying. Amen. I bless his wonderful name. So it says, and has suffered many things, and has spent all she had, and nothing was better, but rather grew worse. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? You were hoping things were going to get better. They told you it was going to be all right. They told you, and this too shall pass. You know how we get religious. And this too shall pass. Well, when is it going to pass? I'm watching it pass for everybody else. And guess what? We're talking to the same God. And that's why my Bible tells me he has no respect of person. But when will it be my time, God? You talk about the seed of blessing, God. I want to know, God, when am I going to be up for the seed of blessing, God? Because it looked like I've been spending a lot of time over here, God, in this seat of trials, God. But I'm trying to get my seat changed, God, to the seat of blessing, God, to the seat of breakthrough, God. I want to see you do it in my life, God. And if you don't come soon, God, I feel like giving up, God. I feel like throwing in the towel, God. I'm almost at a point, God, where I'm about to just quit you altogether, God. But I bless God that he's a keeper. That even when I don't want to be kept, thank God that God is a keeper. I bless his wonderful name. Even when I want to give up on what he said, I thank God that he watches over his word to perform it. I thank God that he will not allow his word to return back to him void, but it shall come to pass. Amen. I bless the wonderful name of Jesus. So even when you're hoping things are going to get better, they tell you things are going to get better. In the end, it says, but it rather grew worse. And see, they'll tell us things have to get worse before they get better. Why do they have to get worse before they get better? Why can't it just get better? Because the God I serve, why can't it just get better? We can skip over the getting worse part and just move on to the better part. Oh, I just need to see the better part, God. I'm looking for the better, God. Forget the worst, God. I'm looking for the better, God. I believe that it is going to be better. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe that it is going to be better, right? So it says this right here in the scriptures. He said, okay, when she had heard of Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, right? And this is step one. She heard. Not being able to get close to Jesus, but thank God that she was in earshot of other people talking about Jesus. Oh, you better thank God that you are in earshot of somebody talking to Jesus and then coming about talking about Jesus, letting you know that God has not forgotten you, letting you know that God is still mindful of you, letting you know that God is not giving up on what he said about you, letting you know that although you're struggling, he is not struggling. He trusts his word. He is going to bring it to pass. I bless the name of the Most High God. You ought to be glad that you have an ear to hear the word of God. Even when God is not speaking it to you himself, you ought to thank God that your ears are open to hear and open, ready to hear the word of God. So it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, right? And this is what I like. We've been talking about this breakthrough. We've been talking about this breaking point, right? This breaking point. And when you understand 12 years dealing with something, 12 years, if this is not a breaking point, I don't know what it is. Give me the definition for breaking point. If this is not a breaking point, then I don't know what you would consider to be a breaking point. I'm dealing with something for 12 long years. I done went to all type of specialists and nobody can help me. Matter of fact, I done spent all my money. I'm still viewed in the eyes of everybody as an unclean individual. I got a label now put upon me. I ain't got no money. You understand? My heart is all messed up. I'm dealing with hopelessness and despair. I'm trying to wonder whether or not God is going to do it. I'm still trying to pray and believe God, but it looked like my prayer is not going any higher than the ceiling, but yet I'm still trying to trust God, right? The breaking point is defined the point at which a situation becomes critical. And if it's not critical, I don't know when critical would come about. It's critical. You've been dealing with this for 12 long years. You've been dealing with this for 5 months. You've been dealing with this for 2 weeks, and you've been dealing with this for 3 years, and you've been dealing with this for 6 days. But guess what? It is a critical time. Understand, this is at the point where this is critical. You have got to see this is a critical situation. If I continue on like this, God, I would die of a broken heart. If I continue on like this, God, I would die of loneliness, God. You have got to help me, God. You have got to help down my unbelief, God. I am struggling. And some days you just got to be real and tell God that you got, I'm struggling, God. It's been so long, God. I don't know how to trust you for this thing anymore, God. It's been so long, God. I don't know how to believe you for this thing anymore, God. Matter of fact, it's been so long, God, I have forgot what you actually said. You might have to remind me of what you said, God, so that I can get my faith up to even believe what you said, God. At this point, it has become critical. Then it says a time or state of affairs requiring prompt or decisive action. One thing I appreciate about this woman, even though she was in earshot, she was able to hear. And I bless God, like the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar, they were able to discern the time and they knew what Israel ought to do. This woman had an Issachar moment. She was able to discern the time. Oh, they are talking about Jesus. They are talking about the Messiah. They're talking about the Christ. They're talking about the God that healeth thee. They're talking about the Prince of Peace. They're talking about my Savior. They're talking about the great defender, the great deliverer. She heard it and she discerned he's in the vicinity. If I can get closer, if I get close enough, I'm taking my chance. Forget what you heard and repeat what you saw. Let's say it again. Forget what you heard and repeat what you saw. If I get close enough, I'm taking my opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to reach out. I'm about to touch him. I'm about to come mobile. I'm going to reach out and touch him. Yes, I am. Because I understand if I touch him, he's going to touch me in return. So understand, it requires prompt or decisive action. She had to be decisive. Knowing that if I go in the midst of a crowd and I could cause multiple people to become unclean just by the mere fact that they're touching me, that warrants me being stoned to death. Oh, you better tell somebody it's do or die time. Oh my God. Yes, it is. It's do or die time right now. Either you're going to trust God or you're going to die. Either you're going to believe God or you're going to die. Either you're going to stand on his word or your praise and your prayer life is going to die, or your worship life is about to die, or your faith is about to die. It is do or die time. You better know what to do. We're living in unprecedented times. We just had an earthquake here in Charlotte. I say, what? Me being from Florida, don't know what to do. My silly self at the table just trying to get my last little stuff together. My silly self ain't never heard of nothing like this other than, okay, that happened in California. But when my house went to shaking, oh, I thank God, because see, guess what? My body had to testify that I'm saved and I'm standing on the word, because we've been taught and trained by our very apostle, when you don't know what to do, you better pray. And the first thing came out my mouth was, I began to speak in tongues and I said, the blood of Jesus, I don't know what's going on, God. And see, the dog understood. Let me get to where the prayer is. Oh, but I thank God that he heard my cry, God. He kept us safe even while the house was shaking. Oh, the foundations of the house were shaking. But I serve a God that is unmovable. He is the immutable God. God that change of not. I bless God that he was yet present. And so when we say it's do or die time, you better be able to discern the times, not just discern the times, but you better know what to do after you discern the times. And then it talks about the point at which something or someone gives way under stress. Oh, do you know somebody? Can you relate? You've been dealing with it for so long. Nobody understands. They can't relate to you because they have not gone through this particular thing. They have not dealt with this. This has not happened to them. You understand. You got to come out to a pity party. Yeah, ain't nobody. You ain't nobody going to be invited to that pity party. It's just a party of one. Come on out of that pity party. Yeah. And you need to relocate to the Holy Ghost party. Yeah, you need to get to that place where you trust in God. Yeah, standing on the word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to remind you of what God said, allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and encourage you of what God has said. We're not denying that it's not critical. We're not denying that you have to take decisive action. And we're not even denying that you don't deal with some strain and some toil. Oh, but that's why you have to say, but God. I heard Darwin Hobbs say he's able. My God, yeah. I heard him say he's able. That'll preach right there. Yes, he is. He is able to do just what he said. Yes, he is able. My God, yes, he is. So we're talking about this breaking point. This woman is at a place where she's at a breaking point, possibly about to lose her mind. Possibly about to have a nervous breakdown, possibly about to have an emotional breakdown, possibly about to have a mental breakdown. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, but she didn't break down because somebody was upholding us. The word lets us know that he upholds us in his righteous right hand. That hand of favor, that hand of grace, that hand of power, that hand of authority, that hand of mercy, that hand of love. He's upholding you. Even when you should fall apart and break down and break into pieces, he's holding you together. I bless his wonderful name. It says when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched him, right? And so this is the thing. Step number two is she came in the press, right? And give him a definition for pressure. Pastor Ivan gave us these awesome definitions. This definition for pressure, right? Because she came into the press. Pressure is defined as the action of a force against an opposing force. Hopelessness is opposing her. Despair is opposing her. Doubt is opposing her. Fear is opposing her. All of these forces are coming against her. Yeah, the labels of who everybody call and who they see as opposing her. Her physical... her body's opposing her. Oh, but you better thank God when I heard the prophet say, open his eyes, God, that he'll see that there is more force than those that are against us. When all these forces are coming against you, God, open our eyes, God, that we will see, God, that there is more with us, God. Oh, God, greater is army of the Most High God, the Lord of hosts that is with us, God. It is greater than those forces that are opposing us. Definition number two talks about the stress or urgency of matters demanding attention, right? This thing demands attention, God. Either something is about to happen, God, or I'm about to die. I'm about to call it quits, God. If you don't give me a breakthrough, God, I'm about to break apart. Simple as that. So the stress or urgency of matters demanding attention. God, this demands your attention, God. It has had my attention for 12 years. And it has the attention of everyone when I go out in the public square. It has the attention because I have to. By law, I have to announce unclean, unclean. So it has everybody's attention but the attention of God. Or so we thought, so we thought, so we thought. You got to understand, like we premeditated and God gave us the song before the sermon. Every step has been ordered by God. Oh, my God. So while you taking a step, right, and you struggling with whether or not should I take the next step, go ahead and take that next step because it has been ordered by God. It has been ordained by God. You don't know if you take that next step, your breakthrough might be in that next step. Oh, your praise report may be in that next step. You got to understand. Your deliverance may be in that next step. Your healing may be in that next step. You got to take that next step. That's why we say step by step. And then if you want to go to the theme song, day by day, oh, you got to take this thing one day at a time. You got to live this life one day at a time. You got to deal with that trial one day at a time. Yeah, you got to deal with that test one day at a time. You got to deal with that struggle one day at a time. You got to deal with that issue one day at a time. That sin in your life, you got to deal with it one day at a time. Till you able to get your foot on the neck of that devil, oh, deal with it one day at a time. You know what God told me? I said, God, it seems overwhelming, God, to live holy like you say live holy. And God gave me some of the most simplest but yet profound wisdom. He said, take it one day at a time. Live today holy before me. He said, because take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Do you understand? If I'm thinking about tomorrow, I'm actually walking in sin. Oh, you better put your mind on today, and you better live holy in today, one day at a time. I'm telling you, when I begin to embrace what God told me, I felt a weight, a burden uplifted up off of me because of just trying to live right before God. And y'all understand, when we deal with these issues of the flesh, to live holy would seem, it would just seem so unobtainable. But I bless God that he would give us wisdom like that. He has infinite wisdom to tell us something that's so simple but so very profound. Take it one day at a time. And then he said, pressure is defined as, this is the pressure exerted in every direction by the weight of the atmosphere. Pressure exerted in every direction by the weight of the atmosphere. Now you got to understand, right? Because it said, when she had heard of Jesus, he came in the press behind and took. Now she's in the atmosphere of the crowd. Now she feels the pressure of the crowd. When before she had distance between her and the crowd, but now she's in the midst of the crowd. And now there is pressure. All eyes on me. Get out of my head, Tupac. The devil is a lie. Oh, but she has all eyes on her at this particular moment because everybody knows she's the woman that is unclean. Everybody knows that she's the woman with the issue of blood, the uncontrollable issue, the one that could not be healed by the doctors, the one that is not broke, spent all her money, and still she is not here. All eyes are on her. Can you imagine feeling the pressure? I'm gonna give you an example. No matter which way you turn, you feel the eyes of the presence of somebody watching you, and they're not watching you with your best interest at heart. They're not watching you because they want to give you a helping hand. They're not watching you because they believe in you. They're not watching you because they're praying and interceding for you, but they're watching you because of the label that has been placed upon you. They're watching you to see what is about to happen because of the label evil and because you're going directly against the law. Oh, but tell somebody, it's do or die time. I'm already out here now. I got to just go ahead and go with it out here. So she came in the press or the pressure of the crowd. And you got to understand, multiple people are being touched by this woman because she's in the midst of the crowd. And technically, the law would deem them unclean, unfit. And right now, she is worthy to be stoned to death. But you better tell somebody, I thank you for his grace. I thank him for his mercy, and I thank him for his favor, right? It says, for she said, and see, Matthew tells us that she said it within herself. No, but when you really look at the scripture, no, she spoke it out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. And see, some of y'all, you got to stop talking on the inside of yourself. You got to stop having conversation with yourself. Not that it's a bad thing. There were some things that need to be spoken out your mouth. It needs to be released in the atmosphere out your mouth. Oh, yeah, because the Bible declares that death and life is in the power of your tongue. Jesus told us these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Come on, you ought to release life by the words that you speak. You got power. I'm telling you, God reminded me of that thing, something before I got saved. Out here playing games with girls and different things and this stuff right here. And one thing I used to always say, I got power in my voice. And I didn't understand that I was abusing the gift. I was abusing the authority that God gave me. But one thing, God, when he reminded me of that thing, I said, God, I'm so glad that you reminded me that I got to get back, God, to speaking and declaring, God, with the authority that you put in my mouth, God. I'm going to declare what you said, God, with the authority, the power that is in my tongue, God. And see, you ought to get back to speaking, utilizing that power that is in your tongue that God gave you. So she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She touched his garment. Step three, y'all, she touched his garment, y'all. She touched his garment. And what you got to understand, touch in the Greek is actually talking about she fastened herself to his clothes. And you got to understand, his garments, what are the garments? The garments were the long fringes, right? That Jews were obligated to sew on the corners of their outer garments, right? Most of the time you would sit on their talit or their press shawl. You would see these different strings hanging from the corners of the thing. And what that symbolized, it represented God's law and God's word, but it was also a reminder that we are God's people. So this is the thing. When she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, in the Greek it's talking about she fastened herself to the word of God. Oh, yes, my God. Not only that, she was clinging to the word of God. Your word is all I have right now, God. My hope died 11 years ago, God. Your word is all I got right now, God. Me trying to speak it, God, I can't even believe what I'm speaking right now, but it's your word. Your word is all I have right now, God. I went to the doctors, God, their word was no good. I went to this specialist, his word was no good. I went to see this, but her word was no good. All I have right now is your word, God, so you better reach out and grab it and hold on to the word of God. You better hold on and let the word of God unfold itself, unravel itself, and come alive in your life. So it says, she touched the garment. She fastened herself. Tied herself to the word. Oh, you can try to take this word, devil, but guess what? I got a good grip. Mm-hmm. I got a real strong grip on the word of God. You were not still the word. So it makes sense, even when you go into chapter 40, he's talking about the sower sowing the word and how the enemy comes to steal the word of God. I can appreciate the fact that this woman had enough strength to hang on and to believe God for 12 years. Oh, my God. When she came into the knowledge of who, she had enough strength to believe God for what he said for 12 years. And I'm trying to encourage you, you got enough strength. It may not look like it, and it may not feel like it, but you got strength. And I'm trying to encourage you, you got strength. You have been hanging on. Yeah, might have been by a thread, but you were hanging on. That's why I bless God. It is called hang on ministry. Yeah. He tied your hand up. He wrapped that your hand up and tied it up because your hand had already let go. But guess what? He did not let go of you. And now he's giving you the ability to put your hands back on the word, to grab hold of that word and hold on to it. Hang on to the word. You ought to tell somebody that's about 6 feet away from you, hang on to the word of God. And if you ain't got nobody 6 feet, type it in the chat room and tell them, hang on to the word of God. And if you ain't got nobody in the chat room that you know, text somebody that you know on your phone and tell them, hang on to the word of God. Oh, my God. You better fasten yourself to his word. That's step three, y'all, because we're taking this thing step by step while the devil is trying to get you out of doing what God said, while he's trying to seduce you, while he's trying to deceive you, while he's trying to trick you. No, you better tell him step by step, and it's going to be day by day, but I'm going to hang on to the word of God. I'm going to let God tie me up in his word. Yeah, I'm going to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the word of God, so that the word would not get away from me. She touched his garment. She was clinging to it. It says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes. She said it, y'all. This was not anything that she was imagining. She wasn't having a conversation. She put it in this pressure-packed atmosphere. If I could just touch his clothes. So you got to come to a place where you're speaking, where you are saying, releasing the power that is in your tongue. She said, but if I may touch his clothes. What did she say? I shall be whole. Not if I touch his clothes, maybe I'll be whole. Not if I touch his clothes, possibly I'll be whole. I'm hoping I will be whole. No, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, see, this woman, her mind was made up, and she knew what was going to happen because she has heard word of how he was casting out devils. She has heard word of how he's been healing the sick and performing miracles. She has heard the word, and so she spoke it in the atmosphere. If I touch him, I shall be made whole. I shall. So she said she had to speak. And this is a straightway. And straightway, the fountain, right? The fountain. So, let me go back to this because I jotted some notes down when we talk about she said, right? And then we're just talking about she broke her silence. So you can be dealing with something for so long, that thing will make you be silent. You can deal with something that is tormenting you in such a way it will cause you to be silent. Some of y'all women know what I'm talking about, but you are so just disgusted with your husband, you just go silent to the point that you're almost numb. You ain't necessarily you seen another dude, but you don't know what he looked like, but you still see another dude. And if your husband ain't kept with the other dude, he might run up on you and get lucky. So I'm just telling you the truth. The truth be told. Some days it be like that. Some days it'd be like that. But she broke her silence. Right? And then the Greek it also talks about she was, when she said, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. What she was doing, it means, when they said, the word said is also defined in the Greek as meaning to point out with words. So in other words, because she spoke, she gave direction to her healing. To point out something gives you direction or to bring your attention to something. So she, her words gave direction to her healing. She knew where to go and what to do because she spoke out. See, you can't get to a place where you become quiet. No, you got to open up your mouth and talk. You got to open up your mouth and speak. You got to open up your mouth and declare what thus saith the Lord, that it shall be so. Why? Because my words are giving direction to my healing. My words are giving direction to my deliverance. My words are giving direction to my breakthrough. She said. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, right? So it talks about her blood was dried up. And so I was speaking on this point earlier, right? In the book of Leviticus, it talks about the life is in the blood. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, right? So the blood was dried up immediately. And because the life is in the blood, you can be dealing with something so long it feels like life is draining out of you. Or it feels like you can be dealing with something so long that you've been standing on the promises of God for so long and you're seeing God bless and move for everybody else till it feels like life is being wasted. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? I know you're a believer and I know you Jesus' first cousin. Matter of fact, you seated right next to him who's seated next to the Father on his right hand, but your seat is right next to Jesus on God's right hand. But guess what? Even though you that close, and even though you Jesus' first cousin, there's still some days where you felt like life was wasted. My life don't even have meaning, God. Because I've been putting my faith, I've been putting my trust on what you said, God. You got to understand, God, when you spoke what you spoke, God, it changed the course of my life forever. But the fact that it has not happened yet, God, the reality, I'm struggling. Oh, but you better take it one day at a time. You better take it step by step. Although you're struggling, you better still hang on. So understand, it's like her life was being drained out of her. I don't even have the strength to believe anymore. I don't even know another scripture to quote, God. I don't know the scripture to pray and intercede about, God. I don't have the strength to worship God. I don't have the strength to bless you at all times like David said. God, the reality, God, I'm just not there, God. The truth be told, I give you praise, God, but I'm going to go ahead and be real, God. I'm tired of blessing you because you said rejoice when others rejoice. The reality, God, I'm tired of rejoicing when everybody else is getting a breakthrough. Can somebody celebrate what you're doing in my life? Will it ever be my turn, God? Will it ever be my turn, God? Will what you say come to pass? Will it happen? Will it happen? Will it happen? Will it happen? It just seems like my life is a waste, God. 13 years I've been saved. 12 years I've been saved, God. And it seemed like, God, only one word. It's like I got one testimony, God. I'm still living off the testimony when I first got saved. Can I get a brand new testimony, God? A new testimony, God. 10 years I've been sold out, God. But why do I still struggle with some days staying with you? 10 years you've been good to me, God. 10 years you've been better than life to me, God. 10 years, God, I haven't found no other love like your love. 10 years, God, no one and nothing else compares to you. Why do I find myself struggling, wanting to depart from you, God? Wanting to divorce you, wanting to break up with you. Oh, behind, you have not did what you said, God. Because they told me up in Jersey, word is born. Your word means something, God. Are you nigging on what you said, God? No, he's immutable. He changeth not. He will honor what he said. So it says a straight with the fountain of God. Immediately, life can stop running out of you. Immediately, you can stop feeling like your life has been a disaster or a waste. And this is my thing. It says, and she felt in her body. She felt in her body. Come on, step number five is you got to be able to feel, meaning she knew, and the Greek is talking about she knew, right? It means to know or to actually feel. So she knew she was healed. She felt the healing when it took place in her. Oh, my God. I can recall when God healed my body or my kidneys were turned upside down. One was in front of my stomach and the other one was jacked all up. And I can remember when we had a 5 o'clock prayer, the Spirit of God spoke to Apostle. And Apostle said, the Lord said, give me everything you got right now. And with everything in me, I didn't hold back. I didn't care who was beside me. I didn't care who we woke up that morning. But with everything in me, I took in the deepest breath that I can take in because I made up my mind. I'm about to give you the loudest praise that I can give you, God, early, right here in the morning. And when I began to open up my mouth, I felt the wind of God go down in my mouth. I felt it go down my throat. I felt it go down in my diaphragm, down in my stomach region. And I put out a praise unto God. That same day, we had a doctor's appointment for me to go get an ultrasound. And the lady was showing me, the nurse was showing me my x-ray. She said, these are your x-rays, right? I said, yes, ma'am, those are. And while they're doing that ultrasound on me, she said, well, what the x-ray is saying, it's not saying it on the ultrasound. Oh, you can't tell me God is not a healer. And I just want to encourage you, he's still in the healing business. And you should be able to feel when the word manifests itself in your life. She knew she was able to perceive and understand, I have just been healed. She understood, I'm not the same. Oh, he has changed me. He removed the label off of me. He's taken away the uncleanness off of me. Now I am worthy of the love of God. I'm worthy to be touched by folk, to be close to people. I'm worthy to have relationship, proper, healthy relationship with people. Why? Because he's taken away my issue. She knew it and she felt it. All because she spoke it. And she was taking it step by step. Step by step. So it says, straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That's the thing, she was healed of that disease, right? Then it says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my glove? It's letting us know that Jesus, he knew virtue. Virtue in the Greek is defined as, you know, the dunamis, right? Or the power, that explosive power, which we interpret, simply being interpreted, the miraculous power had left his body. He understood. So not only did she feel, but he felt when miraculous left his body. I thank God. I thank God that he is aware when you touch him. He knows when you touch him. He knows. He's very much aware when you touch him. And he's very much aware when he's releasing unto you his virtues. So he turned about in the press and said, who touched me? Huh? And his disciples said it to him, God, Jesus, you, we're in the midst of a crowd. Everybody's touching you. He said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and says, thou who touched me? God is touching you. It's because of who you are. We can barely move forward. Everybody's touching you. Everybody wants to get to you. Everybody wants to know you, experience you. And you saying, who touched me? Yeah. It says what? And he looked round about to see her. To see her that had done this thing. So you got to understand, God looking for you. I bless his wonderful name. Oh, he's looking for you. But will you be in the place that he looks? Oh, my God, my God, my God. See, step by step, see the songs that your steps are ordered. And when he orders your step, he know at an appointed time, he's going to look in a certain place. Will you be found in that place where you forgiven folk? Or you still hanging on to the unforgiveness? Or you still dealing with the bitterness of heart? Or you still dealing with the fear and the doubt? When he looks to see in that place, will you be in a place of faith? Will you be in a place of trust? Will you be in a place of praise? Or will you let life get you down and you withhold your praise? You sitting there with your arms folded and your lips poking out like you 5 years old and somebody broke your red bubblegum crayon. But guess what? You better get like David and bless him at all times. In the good, in the bad, in the lovely, the unlovely, in the beautiful, in the ugly, you better bless his wonderful name. He says, and he looked around. He's looking for her. Y'all know he knows who it is. So the reality, for some of y'all, he's not even looking for you because you haven't spoke. First of all, you haven't spoke. You haven't made up your mind that you're going to get to him. You haven't spoke. And trying to have you touched him. So he's not even looking for you. So you can stop being mad, stop being disgusted, stop with all of the nonsense, because guess what? You haven't done the necessary or taken the necessary steps for him to look at you or to look for you. See, I'm trying to get him to look for me. And this is the reality about God, because he knows all things. Let's just say, if he really was looking for me, the reality, he knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly where I am. But I like the fact that because he's ordered my steps at the appointed time, he's looking in a certain place. Will you be there? Will you be in that place of obedience, or will you remain indifferent? Oh, my God. Because see, for most of you, it's not even about being rebellious. It's not even about being disobedient. You just don't care. You understand what I'm saying? You don't like the fact how they get to mishandle you and mistreat you. But yet he tells you to pray for your enemy and pray for those that mishandle you and despitefully use you. He tells you to pray. You just, I don't care, God. You know what? You know what? Give me 5 minutes, God, to tell them all. You know what I'm saying? How they've been telling me up 5 minutes, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to repent. No. When he looks for you, will it be in that 5 minutes that you wanted to get them back, that you wanted to tell them all, that you wanted to cuss them out, that you wanted to shoot them a bird? Will it be he looked there and you were out of position, you were out of place, you got out of alignment with God, you got out of sync with God, not knowing the appointed time that he was going to look and say, there go my daughter. I can count on her. She gonna do what's right. There go my son. He will forgive them. Yeah. And he's going to pray for them. There's my children. Yeah, they're gonna cry out to me. They're gonna seek my face. They're gonna worship me, because they just came out of a series called Blackout talking about worship. They are going to worship me. So when I look for them in a place of worship, when I look to see them bent over, laying prostrate with their hands lifted up, I will find them. Will he find you? He says, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He says, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what God had, what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And so we move to step number what, 6. She came and she fell down. See, that's most of you. You have a difficult time falling down right now because you angry with God. You upset with God. Oh, you don't want to tell nobody, but we sense it, we know it, we see it, we hear it, we smell it, we feel it. You're upset with God, so you're not falling down. And that pride in you makes you rise up. Because I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. Oh, what a deception to make you think you don't need anybody. Tell me how that's working. I get a kick out of seeing folks talking about they don't need nobody. I can do this on my own. I deal with that every day. Because I know you're not going to do it how I want it to be done. So I'll do it myself. And guess what? You're frustrated because they won't do it the way you want it done, but then you're frustrated after you do it the way you want it to be done. You're frustrated that you ain't let nobody help you because now you're tired and you're broke down and you're hurt and you're dealing with all these issues because you refuse to let people close and you refuse to let people in. Fall down. Let go of all that pride and fall down. Let folk know that you need them. Let folk know that you need them. You need their help. You need their encouragement. You need their prayers. You need their love. You need them to check on you. Let them know. But you got to let that pride go so that you can fall down. See, she fell down. She didn't throw up in his face. Well, you said you have respect the person. I watch you here. You about to go hear Jairus' daughter. But you act like you can't hear me, and I'm right in your path. What? You know word has spread how he hid the demoniac over just across the lake. And you act like you don't see me. Come on. That's how some of us feel. The truth be told, we deal with pride because we'll say little stuff like we guilty of. Now, I know I'm living better than them. Yeah. I know I'm obeying God better than them. Because they slipped up and cussed on Facebook, right? Oh, it wasn't a slip. They intended to put that. You got to understand, folks are some home road. There's some home road gangsters on Facebook and Instagram. They bad as I don't know what on social media. They talk all kind of noise on social media. You'll think they fingers are Crips and Bloods. They fingers got 9mm on us, just tied all around their fingers. I bet some of them talk on social media. But it won't allow them to fall down. And what am I telling you? You got to get back to the place where you fall down. Get back to that place where you humble yourself before God, where you let God know, God, I need you. I need you, God. Not just I need you, but God, I need the people that you placed in my life. I need them, God. And I need you. So she said she came and she fell down before him. And then it says she told him all. Because all means all in the Bible. She told him all what? The truth. Listen, 12 years. I've been struggling 12 years. I've been lonely 12 years. I've been wanting somebody to scratch me and me be able to scratch them back 12 years. I just been wanting to have a good conversation with someone. 12 years, I wanted somebody to hug me. 12 years, I wanted somebody to kiss me. 12 years. 7 good years I had money, but now, you know, the last 5 years, God, I've been struggling, trying to figure out where I'm going to get my next meal because I don't have no money. How I'm going to pay my bills? That's the truth. I wanted to rob somebody. Oh, yeah, y'all ain't going to tell the truth. Stuff like that, you got to think what this woman was going through. I wanted to tell somebody off when they looked at me crazy because I said unclean. Some days I didn't want to say that I was unclean. I just wanted to just dress up like cover my whole face up and let them figure out who I am. I just wanted to be rebellious, everything, God, and just be out and about amongst the people. You know, sometimes you know we get like that. Just want to do your own thing. So what? I'm just gonna be a rule breaker today. Oh, well, I repent. I'm going to ask him to forgive me. Matter of fact, God, forgive me before I go do this right here. I'm going to learn the man. I'm about to do it. Y'all know she dealt with stuff like that. That's the truth, God. I was thinking it. I felt it. I wanted to do it. Truth is, I touch other folk en route to getting to you. I cause some other people to become unclean in getting close to you. It was me who touched you. I fastened myself to your word. And it was me that received the healing virtues from your body. She told him all the truth. She told him how she felt like giving up. She told him how she was weak in her faith. She told him how she was dealing with hopelessness and despair. She told him how she was angry at him. You got to tell God the truth. All the truth. That step 7, tell the whole truth. And then it says, and he said unto her daughter, look at this. She went from being unclean to daughter. Thy faith have made thee whole. Your faith have caused you to be healed completely. There are no gaps, there are no holes. It has caused you to be healed completely. Go in peace. See, when you at a breaking point, you don't have peace. You're struggling not to fall apart yourself. And in the midst of you struggling not to fall apart yourself, you trying not to break somebody else apart. Oh, I'm talking to me. See, when I'm at a breaking point, I'm struggling with not breaking somebody. I'm going to break you before I let you break me. You better know it, because of who I come from and where I come, I will break you before you break me. Now, after I break you, I might break down on my own. But you better understand, I'm not going to let you break me. And for most of us, that's right where we are. I'm trying not to fall apart. I'm trying not to be broken apart, God. But on the other hand, I'm trying not to break somebody else apart. I'm trying not to tear up this relationship, God. I say, go in peace. And see, most of us, you need peace. You should be so tired of that false peace in your house. Just because y'all are not yelling at each other no more. Just because y'all are not trying to keep score anymore. Did you ever apologize? Did you ever repent before God? Or you just let time come by, and because you believe, you know, time heals all things, it'll pass with time. You believe all, believe the hype. That's why as soon as there's a disagreement, you're right back at each other's throats. Because you have not got it right. There is no real peace. You need real peace. You ought to open up your mouth, and with that power that God has placed on the inside of you, declare the peace of God. It's not just going to be in your house, but the peace of God shall be in my mind. The peace of God shall be in my heart. My family, we shall abide in the peace of God. The peace of God shall be in my atmosphere, my home. The peace of God, wherever I go, because I'm a carrier of a presence, and because he's the God of peace, I shall walk in peace. I shall abide in peace. I shall bring peace to those that I come in contact with. He said, go in peace and be whole of thy leg. And that's the thing. Your faith has already made you whole. So just go be whole. And isn't that funny? Sometimes when God does it for us, when God breaks you out, when God breaks you through, when God delivers you, when God saves you, it can sometimes feel like you still in the same place before God intervened. Remember, she felt it. Meaning she knew and she understand. I'm not the same. Life is different now. You have got to know, even when it still looks like things have not changed, even when it feels like things have not, you must feel it and you must know. And I'm not saying feel in a carnal sense, meaning your flesh. Because if you understand discernment, it's your same five natural senses heightened in the realm of the spirit. You better feel, come to a place where you perceive, you know, and you understand. God did that for me. That's where you give him the glory. That's where you give him the glory. So the steps again, come on, you got to get to a place where you hear. And even though God may not be speaking to you, get around somebody or ask somebody that you know that hears the voice of God. What is God saying? What is the word of the Lord? I can remember a time that I was so jacked up with God, and God, for 2 weeks, God would stop talking to me because I was arrogant and I was prideful, because I knew how to get in the presence of God, and those that were around me didn't know how to get in the presence like me. And God said, I'm gonna fix you. For 2 weeks, God didn't speak to me. Not just he himself speak to me, but even when I went to get the word of God from someone else, it's like they were speaking gibberish to me when they were trying to speak the word of God. He would not let me understand the word of God. No, you're going to suffer through these 2 weeks. And you'll know what it is. It's an honor. It is a privilege to have me, the Lord. Jehovah speak to you. The Creator speaking to my creation. I'm begging you here. Your ears are closed. Ask God to dig out your ears and prepare them that you may hear. And then step 2 talks about how she came in the presence. You see, you're trying to avoid the pressure, but even the natural speaks to it. For example, Diamonds are made under the pressure that they endure. Guess what? Don't run from the pressure, because it's in the pressure that the atmosphere changes, and you get to get close and touch God in the midst of the pressure. And so we got to change our perspective and our perception about pressure. No, when it comes to God, pressure is a good thing. Remind you, he's the potter, and the potter has to press upon the clay. He has to pull the clay. He has to stretch the clay. Then he pushes it back down. He smashes it back down. He's pressing it back down. Oh, pressure with God is a good thing. Then number three talks about how she touched this garment. She fastened herself to the word. She hung on to the word. Even when it looks bleak, when it looks dim, even when it's dark, hang on to the word of God. He's a promise keeper. Our God is a promise keeper. And then step four talks about how she said, you got the ability. God has given you power in your mouth. She spoke, y'all. Speaking. Because he tells us in the book of Romans, we can speak those things that are not as though they were. You have power to speak things. If you were created in the likeness and the image of God, and we understand what God spoke, all the creation had to come into existence. Because you're created in the image and the likeness of God, you have that same power and authority of speaking. And then number five talks about how she felt it. She felt that healing. She felt that miraculous virtue, that dunamis power. She knew when she understood that she was healed. I'm believing God with you that you're going to know right when God does it, you will know when he does it. At that moment, you will know. There will be no confusion, but there will be peace, and you will give glory to God. I don't care if it's been 12 years. I don't care if it's been 15 years. I don't care if it's been 20 years. God has not. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten his word. So you will know. If there's nothing else, God will give you a point to know that he is God. Number six says she fell down. Knowing what God did for her, he had no respect of person. She should have been given the commandment to be stoned to death with death, grace and mercy. She fell down. She was able to experience the love, y'all. This is the thing. The person that is unclean was able to touch the clean and now became pure. The unclean individual was able to touch the clean one and she became pure. She fell down in honor of who and what he did. You got to get back to the place where you fall in the prayer and the session. Get back to the place where you fall by giving God praise at the goodness of who he is and at the greatness of who he is. Fall down and being in awe of who he is all over again. And then number seven talks about she told the truth. And see, after you tell the truth about you, go ahead and tell the truth about God. God, I'm a hot mess. But you're the God that blesses me. I'm jacked up. But you're the God that holds me up in your right hand. Filthy and unclean. But you're the righteous God that will cause me to be made clean, God. So unworthy, but because of who you are, God, you bring me to a place that I'm worthy because of the blood that was shed on behalf of me, God. And before you know it, you'll find yourself worshiping God in spirit and in truth, merely because of the word you're speaking. The words that you speak. I want to encourage you, take it step by step. Take it day by day, because he's worthy. And if you need help, he will help you. He said he will help you in times of trouble. He will help you when you feel like you're about to lose it. He will help you when you feel like you're losing control. He will help you when it feels like you are breaking through. He will help you. So I just want to encourage you, take this step by step. Take it day by day. Watch God be God. Amen.